A Minnesota man is facing multiple felony charges after a stabbing incident in Westby left a woman hospitalized with serious injuries last week. According to authorities, the Vernon County Dispatch Center received a call on August 12th regarding a female victim who had arrived at the Amplify Health Emergency Room. The woman, identified as 45-year-old Janaea Sandker of Westby, was admitted with multiple stab wounds to her body and feet. While her injuries were described as serious, they are not believed to be life-threatening. An investigation into the matter revealed that a violent altercation had occurred at Sandker's residence in Westby. Officials identified the suspect as 30-year-old Brandon Pfeiffer of Big Fork, Minnesota, who was reportedly dating the victim. Pfeiffer is alleged to have driven Sandker to the hospital before fleeing the scene. The Richland Center community is preparing for a meaningful afternoon as the City Auditorium hosts the Betty Hayes Baxter Dedication Ceremony August 23rd. Taking place from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., this special gathering will serve as a heartfelt tribute to the enduring life and legacy of Betty Hayes, a figure whose impact continues to resonate through the local arts scene. Attendees will gather at the historic venue on North Central Avenue to formally dedicate the Betty Hayes Baxter Legacy Stage, marking a new chapter for the local landmark. Beyond the ceremonial dedication, the event functions as a vital fundraising initiative aimed at ensuring the auditorium remains a premier space for performance and gathering. All donations collected during the afternoon will be directly allocated to essential stage renovations, providing much-needed upgrades to the venue's infrastructure. The project will specifically focus on modernizing the rigging systems, replacing the stage curtains, and enhancing the professional lighting to support future productions and maintain the auditorium's vibrant role in the community. Firefighters responded to a report of a shed fire at 1320 East Hazeltine Street in Richland Center last night at 7:23 p.m. The Richland Center Fire Department was dispatched after smoke was seen emanating from a metal shed containing various lawn care equipment. Upon arrival, four units and 21 firefighters worked for approximately 1 hour to manage the scene, with assistance from the Richland Center Police Department and Richland County EMS. Crews successfully made entry into the structure and extinguished the blaze, which was determined to have been started by a lawnmower. While the fire was contained to the shed, damage was reported to the primary mower and one additional unit stored inside. Following the incident, the fire department issued a public safety reminder for residents to allow lawn care equipment to cool down outside before moving them into enclosed spaces like garages or sheds. The Richland Center City Council is set to convene at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow evening. This meeting will be held at the City Municipal Building and is expected to address a range of local issues and committee recommendations, including fuel pricing at the municipal airport and various administrative agreements. Residents are encouraged to stay informed about these proceedings as the council makes decisions impacting the general government and public safety of the community. The Richland County Board of Supervisors is set to convene for a significant session this coming Tuesday, August 18th at 6 p.m. The meeting, held in the county boardroom on the third floor of the Richland County Courthouse, will address several pivotal issues impacting the county's infrastructure and long-term planning. A primary focus of the evening will be a resolution aimed at creating an ad hoc new jail committee. This move follows preliminary discussions within various standing committees, including executive and finance and public safety and judiciary, regarding the necessity of modernizing the county's correctional facilities. The board will also consider various appointments to diverse boards, committees, and commissions as part of its special orders of business. Infrastructure remains a top priority on the agenda, with the board slated to review and potentially approve a comprehensive facility improvement plan. Related to these facility goals, supervisors will discuss a resolution to transfer funds from Fund 370 to Fund 360, specifically for Simons. Beyond physical infrastructure, the board will evaluate several grant applications facilitated by community and health services. These include authorizations to apply for and accept both operating and capital purchase grants for 2027 under the 5310 program, which typically supports transportation services for seniors and individuals with disabilities. Other notable items include private pay rate increases for skilled nursing and community-based residential facilities and ordinances related to specific county parcels. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. Area blood drive that will be held this week, Wednesday, August 19th from 8:30 to 1:30 at Kickapoo High School in Viola, and Friday from 11 until 4 at Cornerstone Church in Spring Green. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are welcome. The Richland Hospital and Clinics is proud to announce it will host Corn for a Cause Wednesday, August 26th from 2 to 6 p.m. The event will take place on Park Street, conveniently located outside the hospital's employee entrance, and is open to all members of the public who wish to support a vital local cause. This year's event invites the community to receive fresh sweet corn in exchange for a free will donation, with every dollar raised directly benefiting the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. The corn has been generously donated by local Ithaca area farmers Mick and Carly Hipsch, who are contributing their harvest to support the mission of providing aid to local individuals and families impacted by cancer. To ensure a seamless experience for participants, the TRHC Grace team is offering curbside pickup. Community members can simply drive down Park Street, and volunteers will be on hand to deliver the fresh corn directly to their vehicles. In order to share the bounty with as many people as possible, there is a requested limit of 3 dozen ears per person. For those looking for an extra treat, fresh kettle corn will also be available for purchase, with all proceeds from these sales also going toward Grace. Sarah Stibbe, the TRHC Grace team lead, expressed her deep gratitude for the partnership with the Hipsch family. She noted that while this marks the second year Mick has donated corn to the hospital, it is the very first time the event has been expanded to include the general public. Last year's internal event was a significant success, raising nearly $1,000 from hospital employees alone. With the invitation now extended to the entire community, the team is optimistic that this year's Corn for a Cause will make an even greater impact in the fight against cancer and the support of local families. The Richland Area Retired Educators Association, RAREA, will have its August event on Thursday at the Phoenix Center, with registration beginning at 9 a.m., followed by breakfast and program at 9:30 a.m. The program topic will be Internet Crimes Against Children, presented by Detective Jason Pilla and Lieutenant Lauren Moe of the Richland Center Police Department. RAREA members and their guests need to contact President Barry Roguehair with their reservations by tomorrow at noon. Contact Barry by calling 608-647-6542 and leave a message or email him at bjcrogh@charter.net with your reservations. As a new school year approaches, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction are collaborating for the second consecutive year to promote School Transportation Safety Week, August 17th through the 21st. This joint initiative aims to foster community awareness and ensure that every student, whether they walk, bike, drive, or take the bus, can travel to and from school without harm. WSDOT Secretary Christina Boardman and State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley emphasized that student safety is a shared responsibility, requiring motorists to exercise extreme caution and families to educate their children on safe habits. Throughout the week, the agencies are leading a social media campaign that highlights a different safety theme each day. The week begins on Monday with a focus on school crossing guards, followed by bus stop etiquette on Tuesday. Midweek, the attention shifts to safe driving practices within school zones on Wednesday, and navigating the roads near school buses on Thursday. The week concludes Friday with a dedicated look at pedestrian safety. By addressing these specific topics, the campaign provides comprehensive guidance to to help reach communities across every corner of the state. Ensuring a safe commute, also specific actions from all members from the community. Drivers are urged to strictly follow speed limits, watch for students and bicyclists, avoid distractions, and respect the instructions of crossing guards. It's also vital for motorists to stop for red flashing school bus lights and remain alert when amber lights are present. Students are encouraged to wait for buses to come to a complete stop before approaching and to look both ways before crossing any street. Families play a key role by teaching children proper bus etiquette and discussing the importance of parking lot safety with teen drivers. Together, these combined efforts help ensure that every Wisconsin student reaches their destination safely each day. The Muscadet Chamber of Commerce will be holding their annual Fall Opener Banquet Saturday, September 19th. The event will be held at a different location this year. Events at Castle Rock near Muscadet will be hosting the banquet. Doors will open at 5 o'clock and food stations will be open to ticket holders from 5 until 7. The food menu features beef brisket, pork tenderloin, shrimp cocktail shooters, bruschetta, spinach, artichoke, and more. A silent auction and raffle begins when doors open and a live auction will begin after the meal. Prizes at the event include $3,000 cash, a 2026 four-seater golf cart, a luxury massage chair, and much more. Ticket price is $50, which includes the meal. You can purchase tickets at the events at Castle Rock website or from a Muscadet Chamber of Commerce member. More information can also be found at the Events at Castle Rock website. A Milwaukee County courthouse official and two Milwaukee men are facing extensive criminal charges following an investigation that led to the discovery of significant quantities of narcotics. Law enforcement investigators uncovered cocaine, fentanyl, and various drug paraphernalia during a search of a residence, resulting in multiple felony counts for all three defendants. Samotria Matthews has been charged with one count of maintaining a drug trafficking place. Terry and Deshaun Matthews faces a broader range of allegations, including possession with intent to distribute both cocaine and fentanyl, maintaining a drug trafficking place, second-degree recklessly endangering safety, and vehicle operator fleeing or eluding an officer. The most extensive list of charges was filed against Rodney Rommel Matthews, who is accused of possession with intent to distribute cocaine and fentanyl, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and possessing a firearm as a convicted felon. His charges further include first-degree recklessly endangering safety, fleeing an officer, harboring or aiding a felon, and bail jumping. Records indicate that all three individuals remain in custody following the drug seizure. Samotria, Terrian Deshaun, and Rodney Rommel Matthews are all scheduled to make their initial court appearances regarding these matters today at the Criminal Justice Facility in Milwaukee. Newly disclosed text messages from the Department of Health and Human Services have brought to light private discussions between top federal health officials regarding the safety and timing of mRNA COVID-19 vaccinations for pregnant individuals. On January 25, 2021, Dr. Vivek Murthy initiated a conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Rochelle Walensky, questioning if data supported a preference for vaccinating during specific stages of pregnancy. In their initial exchange, both Dr. Walensky and Dr. Fauci indicated a lack of evidence, with Dr. Walensky notably describing the clinical landscape as, quote, data-free. The tone of the discussion shifted significantly following a corrective update from Dr. John Mascola, then director of the NIAID's Vaccine Research Center. Dr. Mascola informed Dr. Fauci that initial studies actually advised against vaccination during the first trimester due to the risks of fever and higher rates of miscarriage. Shortly after receiving this information, Dr. Fauci adjusted his stance in the group thread, noting that the fever and cytokine storms often associated with the second dose could theoretically be linked to miscarriages if they occurred during the first trimester, a concern Dr. Walensky then acknowledged as a valid point. These revelations have sparked an investigation led by Senator Ron Johnson and the Senate subcommittee. Investigators are now demanding clarity on the specific initial studies cited by Dr. Mascola and seeking to understand why these concerns were not more transparently communicated to the public at the time. The inquiry has faced complications as Dr. Mascola has since retained legal counsel, leaving critical questions regarding the transparency and data sharing practices of federal health leadership during the pandemic unanswered. The Friends of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway invites everyone to participate in their upcoming potluck and paddle event Saturday, August 22nd. This gathering offers a wonderful opportunity to learn more about the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway while enjoying a day on the water with fellow river enthusiasts. The event begins at 10:45 a.m. at Wintergreen, where guests will set up their potluck dishes. At 11:30 a.m., the program will commence with a series of presentations, including remarks from Flow President Tim Zum, an overview of the Wintergreen project by Jen Filipiak of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy, and a discussion on riverway history led by Mark Cupp of the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board. The program will conclude with the presentation of the Riverway Champion Awards. After cleanup at 1 p.m., the group will head to the Highway 14 launch for a paddle starting around 2 p.m. For those who prefer not to paddle, there are opportunities to help with shuttling or to assist by capturing photos and videos from the bridge. The owners of a Wisconsin solar panel installation company face theft charges. Trevor Sumner and Christopher Sipe appeared in Dane County Thursday on felony theft by contractor charges. The pair founded Sun Badger Solar, which received over 140 complaints to Wisconsin Consumer Protection before it closed abruptly in 2023 without completing scheduled installations. Two are also accused of embezzling company funds to pay for personal credit cards, luxury items, and other purchases. Both men entered not guilty pleas to the charges. Data center debate continues in Wisconsin Rapids, where Mayor Matt Zacher says city staff are working on a 12-month moratorium on new developments. However, that won't stop an application from PNK Industries for a 150-megawatt hyperscale data center. We don't want the city getting sued if at all possible, so we have to figure out the best way forward. Zacher says he's trying to be as front-facing as possible through his weekly chats at the city library, which have at times turned heated. The La Crosse City Council last week approved a temporary block on any data centers entering the community, joining a growing list of local governments hitting the pause button. A woman accused of stealing a Milwaukee daycare van with kids inside of it takes a plea deal. 28-year-old Caitlin Labrisi pleaded guilty in July to taking a vehicle without consent. Child abduction charges were dropped as part of the deal with prosecutors. Police say Labrisi jumped into the parked van and drove off with the kids inside. The daycare owner called police, who were able to track down the van via the owner's phone, which was still inside. A judge sentenced Labrisi to 18 months probation, with a year in jail if she violates the order. Wisconsin residents impacted by the severe storms and flooding that occurred between April 13th and April 23rd have until Monday, August 31st, to apply for FEMA assistance and U.S. Small Business Administration home disaster loans. Eligibility extends to homeowners and renters within the Oneida Nation and 19 counties, including Juneau, Sauk, and Vernon. Survivors can initiate their applications online at disasterassistance.gov, by calling the FEMA helpline, or by visiting a local disaster recovery center. As the recovery continues, homeowners are strongly encouraged to inspect their heating systems, including furnaces and water heaters, for storm-related damage. FEMA grants may be available to assist with the repair or replacement of these essential items. In cases where survivors disagree with a FEMA decision regarding the amount or type of assistance provided, they have a 60-day window to submit a written appeal letter, along with supporting documentation such as contractor estimates or receipts. In addition to individual assistance, the SBA is offering physical disaster loans to businesses and homeowners until the August 31st deadline. Furthermore, economic injury disaster loans remain available for small businesses and most private nonprofit organizations through March 30th of next year. For comprehensive information regarding Wisconsin's recovery efforts and available loan programs, survivors should visit FEMA.gov. The search is officially on for the best prime rib destinations in the Badger State. The Wisconsin Beef Council, in partnership with Gather Wisconsin, has announced that nominations are now open for the 2026 Wisconsin Prime Rib Trail. This initiative aims to celebrate the deep-rooted connection between Wisconsin's iconic supper club culture and the classic prime rib dinner. Building on the success of the inaugural trail launched in 2025, organizers are looking to the public to help shape the next iteration of this culinary roadmap. Whether it's a legendary establishment known for its Friday night specials or a tucked-away gem serving up a perfect cut, every recommendation helps highlight the diversity and quality of Wisconsin's beef industry. Those interested in participating can submit their nominations through the official Wisconsin Beef Council website at beeftips.com. While the final list for 2026 will be revealed later this year, the 2025 trail remains available as a resource for those looking for their next great meal. This project continues to support the state's multi-billion dollar beef industry while connecting families with the local farmers and businesses that sustain it.